BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Well, a whole bunch of people are not happy with Comcast Xfinity today in our listening region. But what is it like to negotiate with Comcast? Is it the Big Ten Network? Is it Fox who would be doing the negotiation? Further, this college football season, we're going to have ESPN and Fox and everybody else, the CW, tell us, hey, here's how many people watched Thursday night's game or Friday night's game or Saturday's game. Here was the winner on Saturday as it pertained to the ratings battle or the battle over your television. But where do the media consultants look, and what markers or indicators are they looking for as they watch the scoreboard as it pertains to viewership of a college football game day? Oregon State, Washington State have signed on with the CW. What are the expectations as they stack those games? CW creating their Sports Saturday. We had Dennis Miller, the president of the CW, on this show. He talked about stacking up the ACC and the Pac-12 games, a studio show, LIV Golf, NASCAR. CW is emerging. Is there some market share out there for the CW? Those things on my mind as week one of the college football season is heading towards us like a locomotive. Our next guest, Patrick Crakes, served our nation well. He can talk to you about, you know, being a member of the 82nd. He can also talk to you about your media rights deals. Former soldier, consultant, media executive, Crakes Media, Patrick Crakes, joining us now. What's it like to jump out of an airplane?
It's very scary, actually. At least it was for me.
So, I think I would be terrified.
So I could say, yeah.
Do you do it?
It's scary.
Do you do it recreationally after you did it serving your country, or are you like, I'm good?
I'm good. totally good. I got 53 exits from my aircraft while on flight, but I'm good there. I don't need to go do this for fun. It was enough to do it as my job for 3.5 years.
Patrick Crakes is with us. Can we start with Comcast Xfinity and this deal? I try to get our listeners up to speed a little bit with what's going on, and the Big Ten Network is saying they think this will get worked out. It happened with Nebraska. Meanwhile, if you want to watch the Big Ten Network and see live sports events, you can do it on Hulu or DirecTV or Dish. And Patrick, what do you make of this as you hear about this snafu to start week one?
Well, it's a good old-fashioned strategic carriage dispute, and I love it. It brings back, you know, fond memories of 2008 to 2014, where content costs for sports started accelerating so much that there was a real need to put pressure on pay TV distributors by media networks. Fox Sports 1 exists, and Fox Sports 2 exists because of that. To create value by aggregating sports content and then extracting most of the value from pay TV distributors. So this is the business. Even though it's in secular decline, it remains the business. And the difference is now it's just you don't really get to the nitty-gritty with it unless you absolutely have apex Tier 1 content. And obviously these Big Ten games featuring Oregon and Washington and the Pacific Northwest and UCLA and USC in Southern California fit that perfectly.
I'm being told that this is new territory. And, you know, as the Big Ten expands, you know, I find it interesting to have it called new territory all of a sudden, because we all said, well, wait a minute, this happened months ago or made official at least in August. And, how do these territorial disputes in your mind kind of unfold, or how tuned in have you been to those kinds of things in the past?
Well, so the Big Ten, for all practical purposes, when it started, was a regional network, right, with some national distribution. And the difference is what you charge someone and what you would call its home channel's home regional network versus out of market, right? So when the Big Ten launched in Iowa, the fee was much higher than it was in places where Fox's affiliate distribution group was able to get carriage, say the Texas Panhandle or something like that. Difference could be as much as 30 cents versus 5 cents, right? And the Big Ten Network was distributed in the Pacific Northwest under that in an out-of-market rate. Now it's on a tier that was not fully distributed within Comcast's footprint. Now that's changed because the home team is now part of the Big Ten Network's programming mix. So the Big Ten Network wants what it gets in places like Nebraska or New Jersey or Indiana. It wants an in-market rate, and it wants to be distributed on the tier with the most subscribers. And that's how the math worked out, penciled out, to add Oregon and Washington and UCLA and USC. If you can't achieve that, the math doesn't pencil out. Meanwhile, Comcast, that's a big hit. They don't want to pay that. So we've got a bit of a fight about how that negotiation is going to work. And in the middle will be the subscribers. So this time, it'll be interesting because there's so many national options, either via old DBS or the internet, to gain a package of channels. That you may see Comcast actually get some impact to that. There may be some people that just say, look, I can just switch my my pay TV service for sports from Comcast to Hulu Live or to DirecTV or to DirecTV itself, and just avoid all of this, just change pay TV providers. You couldn't do that with regional sports networks because a lot of the digital pay TV channel bundles don't have RSNs on them already, but Big Ten is there. So it's going to be interesting to see. It make no mistake about it. This is where the logic from a business perspective was the core of the logic for adding these four Pac-12 schools. You get an in-market rate, and you get access to all the subscribers of the pay TV distributors.
Are you surprised that this wasn't ironed out in the last year, or is that typical? I mean, you have been privy to negotiations involving probably all these parties. It surprised me a little bit that they hadn't come to an agreement yet.
Yeah, and certainly, actually, since I've left Fox, even more so, right, as a consultant. But I will tell you that, it's not unusual to see these things come down. Nothing focuses the mind like losing money or gaining money. But Comcast's position, every pay TV distributor is a little different. And Dish is impossible to deal with, right? They're their own thing. That doesn't mean they're bad. It's just they're their own thing. Comcast is a great partner, but they are very challenging to negotiate with. And they will hold out for long periods of time. They will wait years to agree to something because at the moment you have one channel by itself whose agreement expired. But in 2 years, you'll have a bunch of channels that expire. And that's when they'll have enough pressure on them to make a deal. So they'll just say goodbye to you for 2 years. They actually did that with YES in northern New Jersey about 10 years ago. Or in New Jersey, they did that. They didn't carry YES, the Yankees. They didn't carry the Yankees for an entire season until Fox News came up to renewal the next year. And then they got the deal done at the rate Fox wanted, but Comcast just took a year to do it. So Comcast is notoriously doesn't like to renegotiate, in term or in the contract. And I'm not surprised they haven't come to an agreement, and they're going to go through this process, and they're going to see what happens. And it may take a little longer than people think. I do think Comcast will have to give in. That's my opinion. But Comcast's been on a roll. I mean, they managed to send up to digital tiers. They sent Root Sports up there. That's why the Trailblazers had to leave Root Sports. So they've been winning a lot with regional sports networks. This is different because it's a national network in BTN or quasi-national, and there are options for it that are not that hard to get at. It'll be interesting to see, but I'm not surprised by it.
Patrick Craik's with us, Craik's Media. Let me ask you this, because a lot of people feel helpless as they are on hold with Comcast or sending an email out into the ether. Does that stuff register with these companies, or what does register with, you know, a media company or a distributor?
Well, I do think complaining registers with them, right? They understand that this could hurt them. They've made a calculation about how much pain they can take. They have. And so, you know, when they get past a certain threshold of people canceling them, traditionally, right, as recently as 5 or 6 years ago, when these pay TV carriage distributor disputes emerged or came about, it would take a year for people to really get around to canceling, right? They just expected it to get resolved, and there was some inertia in the system because it was harder to switch. But it's gotten easier to switch. It's gotten easier to cancel an ad with the internet, right? And that means that there's not as much, you can't approach it like, well, I've got a year to figure this out if I'm a pay TV distributor, I've got some time. If there's really content people want, you could see an impact sooner rather than later. So Comcast has probably got some kind of target in their head. And when the noise and the actual switching gets high enough, they'll probably give in. They may also want something from Fox. Fox is doing the negotiation for BTN. They may want something from Fox. There's a lot to negotiate with Fox. That's one of the great things about having a lot of stuff. You can make deals. There's lots of routes to a deal with a pay TV distributor. That's the good news. Fox has a lot of routes to a deal. They just have to make the same deal they made with everybody else within reason. That there's clauses like that in every contract called a most favored nation status. But there's probably ways to get a deal done for Fox because they have so many assets. Comcast probably wants something. They may not have revealed that yet, but that could be what triggers it. So I think this is going to go a little longer than people anticipate. But at the same time, I think it's going to get done because I think Comcast is going to feel some pain here eventually. And yes, when you complain, when you switch, it does have an impact.
We're talking to media consultant Patrick Crakes, Crakes Media. Let me ask you about the CW deal with Oregon State and Washington State. I really haven't had you on air to talk about it. They're getting distribution. Oregon State tweeting out today, we're available nationally, even on Comcast. Little shade thrown at the Pac-12 schools that have departed. You know, what do you make of that CW deal?
Well, I think, look, I think it's great for Oregon State and Washington State. Look, the guys at the CW, there's a bunch of Fox guys there. Mike Bierd, who used to be the president of affiliate distribution at Fox, is now, I think, the number two person at Nexstar, which owns the CW. He understands pay TV distribution. He understands sports. He's one of the smartest guys in media. My friend Jason Wormser is the head of sports. He was a producer at Fox Sports. We worked very closely together, and their strategy is simple. Broadcast television does have an over-the-air signal, but the economics are also made with pay TV distributors, and the things that are really getting the biggest bumps economically are pay TV stations. Broadcast TV stations within the pay TV bundle. So it's sports that's driving that for the national networks. So why wouldn't sports drive it for a station group? Right. And so they've acquired a collection of tier one or near tier one sports. And their goal is to create, you know, a programming blocks on Saturday and Sunday and maybe during primetime that make them, you know, relevant in the sports marketplace that they believe that they can monetize with advertisers nationally because they're kind of a quasi national network. CW is a national network. But the station group is like a quasi unwired kind of network, and certainly with pay TV. So I think it's the right strategy at the right time for them. The question is, how far can they take it and how much can they get? So far, they've done pretty well because the established system is letting some things go, right? And it's available. So that's also they're filling a role in the marketplace as a kind of incremental distributor for some very expensive product that not necessarily did the established players want to keep anymore, and there was no Amazon or Apple to step up to take it, so it fell into their lap, still for a market price, but they were able to get access to it, whereas 3 or 4 years ago they wouldn't have been able to. So I like the strategy, and it's benefited Oregon State and Washington State, which is, you know, kind of nice.
Give me an idea. You know, is there market share out there for the CW? You know, will Fox and ESPN look over and go, hey, who's that little guy who's come trying to run alongside us here a little bit on Saturdays? But, you know, how much of a threat is that? Or do they welcome, hey, there's more competition, that's great, you know, the everybody wins? I kind of don't think they're going to see it that way. But, what you know, CW's future, as Dennis Miller says, hey, we'd love to be more and more involved, what does that look like?
Well, I think that, you know, when you talk about something like Xfinity, which has a loyal fan base, right, and which, you know, just 12 years ago, redoing the NASCAR deal in 2011 was one of the things that Chase Carey, who was Rupert's number two at Fox at the time, predicated that we had to get done. We had to acquire Xfinity along with renewing the Cup rights to be able to launch Fox Sports 1. And we did do that. Fox let it go. So did NBC. But that doesn't mean it still doesn't have a lot of value. And that loyal fan base will follow it. Even though it's not a major network, right, it is a network, and it is viewed. It does have primetime programming, and it's Channel 13, Channel 17, and everybody's pay TV bundle, and folks will find this content. It's not impossible to find this because they're broadcast television stations. So there's a place for them, and I don't know it's so much about competition as it is how do you fit into the portfolio mix. There are fans of these various sports that are looking for them, in particular Xfinity. There are fans of big-time college football that are going to find this. I mean, the Civil War, you know, is on Fox this year, but the folks are going to find big-time college football now on the CW. They're going to stop, and then, of course, the fans of Oregon State and Washington State are going to be looking for it aggressively. So it's about your role in the portfolio of distribution of content. It's not so much about competition. When you acquire these different sports, they have different fan bases. That's why I always say to investor clients, the reason why the UFC was worth something different in ESPN that made more sense than it was in Fox's when Fox let it go in 2018 was because the portfolio mix is different. The reason why Fox overpaid for the Big Ten was because their portfolio is different. It's valued differently for them than it was for ESPN. Mm. So that's the case with the CW, and they have filled this incremental role. So I think they're going to do well. Are they going to catch Fox or ESPN? Fox and ESPN are 1A and 1B of sports, and there really isn't any other way to get around that, in particular when it comes to college sports. And they're not going to catch them, but they can do very, very well being the incremental distributor for lots of sports to include college.
There's been some talk about Sunday programming on the CW. Do you think we'll see college football on Sunday? Would the CW be the right entity to take on the NFL a little bit and try to put a college game in a window maybe after the second game of the day but before Sunday night football? Or how do you see Sundays?
Well, I if you're going to try something like that, if you were a big-time college program, I would never try that. That would have to be a college conference that's just looking for a clean window to kind of program themselves against other colleges. There's no college sports on Sunday or no college football. I would not be a fan of doing that. I would rather program something other than football against the NFL. You have to go up, if you're a big-time media company, you have to go up against the NFL some, right, even if you don't have it. It's one of the reasons why everyone's pretty much got it now. No one wants to go without the NFL on Sunday. But I would not be a fan, and I would not recommend trying to do that. I think that's too hard. I think you need to find a different night of prime time to try to program a college football window. I wouldn't be a fan. I'd be more a fan of acquiring other sports, perhaps auto racing, or some tier two, tier three sports. For many years, Fox Sports 1 has done the National Hot Rod Association on Sundays. I just think there's better places to compete against the NFL. That's a little crazy. You just can't go against the league and expect to create real strategic value. I think think you got to be careful about that, in particular on Sundays when you're really not competing. Maybe in your own market you're competing against one game, but on a national basis, you're competing against a collection of games whose ratings are weighted by their distribution in their local markets, then summed up into one giant program average. I mean, that's too much to go up against.
Patrick Craik's with us, Craik's Media Consulting. Patrick, you know, I know I get news releases from ESPN and Fox, you know, after games saying, gosh, it's a record audience, 4 million people watched it, 8 million people watched it, Colorado's set a new record. What are we supposed to look for, you know, as we declare winners and losers as it pertains to ratings? I'm hesitant to believe the PR companies and the comms people for these networks. What do you look at when ratings come out?
Yeah. Well, you know, as a former researcher, you know, we're the ones pulling out those stories and writing them. You know, tell us, this is the story to write about, right? Because everyone's got an angle. The business is big enough that you can be number one in adults 18 to 41, number 49, number one in viewers. It could be a record high for you in something. So you're always looking for something to talk positive about. But the thing that a sport like college football enables you to do is that if you've got a decent amount of games, you're going to find something to talk about. And you're going to be able to pull something out, because aside from the NFL, you know, college football really is, even though it's obviously more fractionalized, the number two sport in the United States. And so, you know, you don't do the ratings of the NFL, but if you have 3 or 4 games, you're going to have something to talk about, and you're going to be relevant. And even if in reality, on a day, on a weekly ratings basis, your games were number 8, 9, and 10, you outrated 95% of everything else on television and on streaming with those games. I mean, that's the truth of the matter is, if you do 5.5 to 10 million viewers, the NFL does upwards of 25 million on a Sunday afternoon. So that just shows you the difference. You've outrated everything, certainly on television. And by default, you've outrated most of streaming too. So you've got something very positive to talk about, but from a business perspective, the advertisers understand that. Yes, everybody wants to position themselves, and that's very important, but the advertisers pay the rates for the advertising units because you're number 10, but who cares? You did 3.5 million viewers. You can't get that kind of reach over a 3-hour period because that's the average amount of viewers across every minute of the program. You're not going to get that, really. You're not going to get that in a lot of places. And the pay TV distributors certainly understand that, because that's enough people watching that's a reason for people to have a pay TV bundle. So, you know, we get the horse race, who's number one, Fox versus ESPN on the pregame shows. They're all winners, John. They're all winning. They're all winning. And, everybody wants to be number one, that's for sure, but everyone's winning.
Patrick Craik's, you're the best. I really appreciate you sharing your expertise and dumbing it down for me so that I can understand some of this. Just to recap, if I'm hearing you correctly on this Xfinity thing, if I am explaining this to my mom and I say, yeah, Fox or the Big Ten Network, they would like to be paid an in-market rate for the 4 new schools. It's how they based their math when they were adding the 4 new schools. It's a higher rate than the out-of-market rate. Comcast, because it's a business, doesn't want to pay it. Or maybe they want something else from Fox and are just kind of in an extended negotiation going, well, we know we're going to give this up eventually, but we're going to hang on to it now because it's, you know, it gives us something to negotiate with. Am I reading that right?
You are, and I would add what the Big Ten Network would like, what Fox would like, is to also add the number of homes that are paying that in market rate from the kind of specialty sports tier they're on now to what we call the basic tier, which is basically the full amount of subscribers in Comcast's footprint in the region. So that not only does your rate go up, but the number of homes you're multiplying by that goes up, and that yields a much higher dollar figure than you had before with a smaller number of homes times the out-of-market rate. So it's about the number of homes you're in and the rate. And I think that's the best way to explain
there
it. I'll add one thing, John.
Yeah.
I think it's, John, I'll add one thing that's interesting about Comcast. Comcast is arguing like, oh, you know, you can't do this. And, you know, this is going to be really hard on us. And we're going to have this carriage dispute. But yet in week two, their media company, NBC, which owns which controls Peacock, is going to do an exclusive game with Oregon on Peacock. And then on week three, I believe they're going to do an exclusive game with Washington on Peacock. So Peacock is exploiting the same kind of strategy BTN is, using the popularity of the Big Ten in its region to drive its own business interests with its SVOD service, Peacock.
Patrick Crakes, you're the best. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, John. Take care.
There he goes. You got a thrill jumping out of planes 53 times. Serving our nation, now serving readers of this, listeners and readers of mine, by explaining this fiasco with Comcast. I call it the first fumble of the Big Ten football season. Comcast fumbled the ball. It looks and feels to me dirty. I get it. It's a negotiation. It's business. But I can't help but think about the people that are caught in the middle of this. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.